This is the final edition of Hour of Decision Online. On November 15, 2016, Cliff Barrows, the longtime host of the Hour of Decision, passed away. This edition of the program was recorded before Cliff's death, and again, it is the last edition of the program that will be posted. We invite you to visit a special website where you can learn more about the life and ministry of Cliff Barrows. The address is cliffbarrowsmemorial.org. That's cliffbarrowsmemorial.org. Welcome to this special Christmas edition of the Hour of Decision Online. I'm Bob Sauer, along with the host of our program, Cliff Barrows. Today, a vintage Christmas message from Billy Graham that's as meaningful today as it was in 1953.
When the wrongs of the world needed righting and a fallen race needed redemption, God did not send his heavenly angelic hordes to accomplish his majestic purpose, but he sent a tiny, tender, helpless babe in the person of his son.
Billy Graham will tell you how the Jesus who was born in a manger 2,000 years ago is the same Jesus who can fill you with hope, peace, and joy today. You'll also hear his grandson, Will Graham, teach on the first hint of Christmas found in the Bible, a prophecy in the book of Genesis.
This news would come true thousands of years later when God sent his son, Jesus, to be born of the Virgin Mary in order to save all of mankind.
Stay tuned for Will's teaching on Christmas in Genesis. You'll hear it right after his grandfather's message, which comes from the 1953 Christmas edition of the Hour of Decision radio program. The program was recorded at the Montreat Inn in Montreat, North Carolina, and Cliff, you were there serving as host.
Boy, I sure was, and if I'm not mistaken, Bob, we did not have recordings back in those days. We were feeding it live from that pickup at that Montreat Auditorium in that lovely little hotel, which was decorated like a Christmas tree. It was Christmas all around. And to that community, to have a message that went out from that community on the American Broadcasting Network was something, and they were really excited about it. We had a banner hung in front of the podium called ABC, the American Broadcasting Company, and Bob Benioff came down from up in Chicago, and they were feeding the program live. And boy, I tell you, you didn't have the luxury of stopping and starting and editing. What you said went, and it had to be like it was. Well, they heard a message that they'd never heard before. You're going to hear that today. Bill spoke with such clarity, such rapidity, such personal passion. It'll stir your heart as he talked from Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And it'll stir your soul like it did mine to hear it again. So be sure and stay tuned. In fact, right now, call a friend and remind them to tune in.
As we stand on the threshold of Christmas week and anticipate the celebration of that greatest event of human history, we of the team have gathered in the lobby of Montreat Inn, joined by the girls' chorus of Montreat College. You'll hear the scripture read by Associate Evangelist Grady Wilson. And then for his annual Christmas message, truly a message for crisis times, the voice of the Hour of Decision, Billy Graham. Here he is now with a word of greeting, Billy Graham.
Ladies and gentlemen, this week, more than any other week in our calendar year, the American family gathers about the home fireside, for the celebration of Christmas is one of warm remembrance. It is a season when we are more conscious of others, motivated by the Savior of men who came to minister and give his life a ransom. I wish it were possible for Mrs. Graham and myself to personally express our warm thanks and appreciation personally to all those who have prayed for our ministry during this past year. This, of course, is impossible. But I would like to take the opportunity which this program affords to send greetings from our little home in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains to all of you wherever you are. May the Savior bless and enrich your life during these days which commemorate his birth. And to you who have never experienced the thrill and the satisfaction which becoming his child affords, may I urge that during the next few moments you accept him as Savior and Lord. As you become a part of our fireside scene here in Montreat Inn, May this hour for you be an hour of decision.
From the ninth chapter of Isaiah, we are reading the prophetic story of the birth of Christ. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
And now, Billy Graham.
As the world waits with bated breath the greatest day in our calendar year, our minds quite naturally go back to the manger in Bethlehem where Christ was born. Isaiah's prophetic words, "Unto us a child is born," were a verbal preview of the birth of the Messiah. The greatest and most colossal event in the history of the world took place 2,000 years ago. That tiny, remote, secluded manger with its sweet-smelling straw and its lowing cattle comprised the homely stage upon which the most striking and significant drama of the centuries was enacted. It was there that God, in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, became identified with man. In meekness and humility, he came to earth. Many thought that in manifesting the terror of his majesty and the greatness of his love, that God would rend the heavens and cause fountains of fire to burst from the bowels of a fevered world. But he did not. God works in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. The wheels of his justice move quietly and silently, but they move. The chariots of his grace make no world-shaking rumblings, but their progress is sure. In the prophetic scripture that Grady Wilson just read, there's a three-point outline that describes the meaning of Christmas. First, his name shall be called Wonderful. Jesus was wonderful. He was wonderful in his pre-existence. When the Pharisees boasted of their relationship to Abraham, Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." He was called the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. He is the only person in heaven and earth who is equally at home in both worlds. As crown prince and heir apparent to the throne of God, he is at home in heaven. As man of sorrows and the Word made flesh, he is at home in the earth. But again, he was wonderful in his birth. God does not rule his world by the might and power of big battalions abroad. The God who is instilled in the tiny atom enough power to destroy a universe oftentimes works his wonders through the small and insignificant. When the wrongs of the world needed righting, and a fallen race needed redemption, God did not send his heavenly angelic hordes to accomplish his majestic purpose, but he sent a tiny, tender, helpless babe in the person of his son. But no ordinary son was he. Wonderful in his conception, not of man, but of the Holy Ghost. Wonderful in his birth, when the angelic host sang glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Jesus was the golden link which brought heaven and earth together. As his birth, the shepherds watched with wonder as the stars moved out of their established orbs to guide these lowly men to their humble manger. Angels blended their voices with peasants on that first Christmas morning when the glorious news of Christ's birth reverberated throughout the land. Heaven and earth, which had been so long separated, were once more united in the bonds of unity by those tiny infant hands of the babe of Bethlehem. But again, he was wonderful in his life. He mingled with sinners, but was sinless. He consorted with the rich men of his day, but had no place to lay his head and was untainted by their gold. He associated with publicans and sinners, but never partook of their sins. His worst enemies could find not one single flaw in his reproachless character. The Pharisees said, "Never a man spake like this man." The Roman soldiers at his death said, "Surely this was the Son of God." Yes, Christ was wonderful, but Christ was also wonderful in his death. His vicarious death was a fitting climax to his selfless living. He lived for others. He died for others. When they scourged him, he opened not his mouth. When they in ignorance jeered him, when they should have cheered him for being willing to die for the race, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Yes, he was wonderful in his death, and his death was the keystone of redemption. It was the connecting link in the golden chain of complete reconciliation between God and man. Christ, being made flesh on that first Christmas night, became identified with the race and thus became eligible to provide divine redemption. And ladies and gentlemen, at this Christmas season, there is no way for man to get to heaven except by the wonderful, glorious death of Jesus on the cross. Secondly, Isaiah prophesied that his name shall be called Counselor. If ever the world needed the counsel of Christ, it does today. Thousands of individuals over this world who have accepted Christ, the divine advocate, have found a solution to their baffling problems. I could bring to this beautiful hotel lobby today diplomats from the leading nations of the world who have found their sufficiency in Christ. I could bring to this microphone, if time permitted, some of the top brass of the Allied forces who would cheerfully witness for Christ and declare him to be an adequate counselor for the troubled soul. If Christ, this divine counselor, has been able to meet the needs of the problems of literally millions of men and women in this troubled world, then why is it not reasonable to believe that he can meet the needs of the world itself, if together we will dare to put our trust and confidence in him? As advocate and counselor, he becomes our deliverer when we let our case rest in his hands. We in America are familiar with the Emancipation Proclamation, which was signed and issued by the great commoner, Abraham Lincoln. For millions of slaves, it was a great day when it was signed. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus, our advocate counselor, did not hesitate or falter in signing mankind's Emancipation Proclamation from the power and bondage of sin. With loving, compassionate, tender hand, he signed our spiritual proclamation of emancipation and has delivered all who put their trust and who put their case in his hand from the bondage and power of sin.
You can be released from the bondage and power of sin today by trusting your life to Jesus Christ. Learn more right here at hourofdecisiononline.org. Click on Grow Your Faith at the top of this page. You're listening to Hour of Decision Online. I'm Bob Sauer, along with the host of our program, Cliff Barrows. A retired U.S. Army general is asking that you would be praying this Christmas season for veterans and for troops who are still serving. Our Phil Fleischman has more.
General Douglas Carver served as Chief of Chaplains for the U.S. Army from 2007 to 2011. His first assignment as a chaplain was at Fort Campbell, Kentucky in 1984.
You live and work with and deploy with these men and women that you serve. So when they go off to war or to training or wherever, you're getting on that plane, you're getting on that ship wherever they go. We call it ministry of presence, wherever they are. When they're going for their unit runs or they're going to the weapon range, you're there with them through all of the seasons of their life.
And of course, one of the seasons of life is death. And just 2 weeks before Christmas, 1985, December 12th to be exact, death shook the lives of hundreds of people at Fort Campbell, Kentucky.
I'd been there about a year, and we were waiting for our troops to come back from the multinational peacekeeping operation in the Sinai. They'd been gone 6 months, and our plane crashed upon takeoff at Gander, Newfoundland, and all 248 soldiers were killed, including one of our chaplains. And that was probably a definitive ministry moment in my life, because to have 248 dead soldiers, 248 grieving spouses, children, family members, service members, I cannot describe what we all went through as an army and as a local military community, as that tragedy.
That crash happened during peacetime, but Chaplain Carver has also been in the thick of things during combat. He deployed with the first wave of troops from Kuwait in 2003 at the start of the Iraq War. He spent Thanksgiving and Christmas of 2003 in Iraq.
I was amazed to see how our troops were given a traditional Thanksgiving or Christmas meal with ice carvings and decorations. And it's almost as if each area, the military leadership went out of their way to make it just like back home. I mean, with, you know, eggnog and turkey and pumpkin pie and all. It was just totally amazing. And visiting our troops over Thanksgiving was just unbelievable.
Christmas of 2003 was also memorable for Doug Carver. He'd been assigned to serve as the escort for the military archbishop of the Roman Catholic Church when the archbishop visited the troops in Iraq.
He had midnight mass back at Baghdad Airport. And so I was standing with him in a standing room only service. And we had incoming mortars and rockets. And the concussion was so strong that the candles on the altar were flickering like they were going to go out. And here we are standing there worshiping the Lord. And I was the escort for the priest, and he was a Vietnam veteran, so he did not flinch. And since he wasn't flinching, I stayed with him. But it was just amazing that even though you're in the middle of combat, that these services were so important.
A big part of Christmas in civilian life is the giving of gifts. Chaplain Carver says that looks a little different for troops who are stationed away from home.
You know, you take away a lot of the materialism and a lot of the commercialism, and it's just a raw, simple, the real meaning that God invaded this planet at Christmas time with Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it's just a simple celebration without all of the trappings. Now, that said, I remember we received lots of gifts and packages over there. But even then, it wasn't something that, oh, this is my gift. So often we'd get gifts, we'd get shirts, we'd get clothes, we'd get candy. And it was something that was shared with the community. It wasn't something that you kept for yourself. It was always something that you opened, everybody celebrated it, and it was not only yours, but you shared it with others.
You can hear more of General Douglas Carver's story in the new episode of our online program, GPS, God, People, Stories. Just click on TV and Radio at the top of this page. For Hour of Decision Online, I'm Phil Fleischman.
Thanks for being with us today for a special Christmas edition of Hour of Decision Online. You're listening to a message Billy Graham delivered on the Hour of Decision radio program back in 1953. That message picks up now with Billy Graham telling a parable about his decision to accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior. Let's listen.
It is an awful thing to be found guilty of transgressing the law. I must confess that I was arrested once, years ago when but a lad. I had a brush with God's law. I roamed aimlessly about with a fear and dread that I would be apprehended. One dark night while walking on a lonely, lightless street, I felt a firm hand on my shoulder. I turned in consternation to see a big policeman, and he announced that I was under arrest. He immediately took me before the judge, and the judge asked if I could provide counsel. I admitted that I had no one to defend me nor plead my case. From the back of that courtroom came a man with the kindest smile I've ever seen. He stooped over me and asked if I was guilty. I confessed that I was. He began to plead my case before the stern, placid judge. He pleaded not for justice, but for mercy. I became aware that the judge had great respect for the one pleading my case, and I later learned that my advocate was the judge's son. Thanks to the goodness and kindness of that advocate, I went out of that courtroom a free man, and in gratitude to him, I've never had another brush with the law. Now, before you draw any false conclusions, let me say that the law I had broken was God's law. The policeman who arrested me was the Holy Spirit of God. The judge was God himself. My advocate, my savior, was Jesus Christ. Yes, his name shall be called Counselor. Through these many years, he has been my personal advocate, counselor, and my defense. And I found him to be equal to every emergency and problem of my life. Thirdly, Isaiah prophesied that his name shall be called Prince of Peace. The craving, the desire for peace is universal. It is part and parcel of our nature to want to live in tranquility and free from confusion, discord, and strife. Jesus said to a group of weary, battered, harassed disciples who had been fighting what seemed to be a fruitless battle, "My peace I leave unto you." Perhaps peace will only come to the world when individuals are at peace with God. Hell can be heaven with Christ. Discord can be peace with Christ is near. Midnight gloom can be transformed into noonday brightness when he abides. On that night, when in Judean skies the mystic star dispensed its light, a blind man moved in sleep and dreamed that he had sight. That night when shepherds heard the song of host angelic choiring near, a deaf man moved in slumber's spell and dreamed that he could hear. That night when in the cattle stall slept child and mother cheek by jowl, a cripple moved his twisted limbs and dreamed that he was whole. That night when o'er the newborn babe the tender Mary rose to lean, a loathsome leper smiled in sleep and dreamed that he was clean. That night when to the mother's breast the little king was held secure, a harlot slept in happy sleep and dreamed that she was pure. That night when in the manger lay the sanctified who came to save, and man moved in the sleep of death and dreamed that there was no grave. Ladies and gentlemen, my prayer today is that the message of this Christmas time will be a personal message to you, that Jesus will be wonderful savior from sin to you, that he will be your advocate and counsel and lawyer to plead your case before the judge of the universe who has condemned you because of your sin. And thirdly, that he will be Prince of Peace in your life and will bring peace and satisfaction and joy to you. The message of Christmas is the message of Christ. In the midst of all the tinsel and the sparkle and the giving and exchanging of gifts, let's put Christ back into Christmas, and let's make this a Christmas in which Christ is first.
What a privilege it is to make Christ first in your life. If you've never received him right now, as he told the people that were listening on that broadcast, which came live from Montreat, North Carolina, you can make your decision for Christ.
Billy Graham's message today came from the 1953 edition of Hour of Decision. It's a timeless message, the message that the Christ of Christmas is the only way to find peace with God. You can learn more about beginning a relationship with Jesus by going to the top of this page and clicking on Grow Your Faith. You're listening to Hour of Decision Online. In the Christmas message you just heard, Billy Graham taught from a prophecy found in the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Now Billy Graham's grandson Will tells of another Old Testament prophecy about the Christ of Christmas.
What is your favorite passage in the Bible that talks about Christmas? One of my favorites actually comes from Genesis. Genesis chapter 3 is the first hint about Christmas, and it comes in one of the darkest times in human history. Genesis chapter 3 is when Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan and disobeyed God, forever destroying the wonderful relationship between God and man. But yet, in Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, God tells that there will be a seed of woman that will come and ultimately destroy Satan. This is the very first mention of the good news in the Bible. This news would come true thousands of years later when God sent his son Jesus to be born of the Virgin Mary in order to save all of mankind. From the very beginning, God had a plan to rescue all of us from Satan and our sinful state. That is why I love this verse, because by faith I know that Jesus saved me from the darkness and loneliness of sin. Live by faith and not by sight. And Merry Christmas.
For Our Decision Online, I'm Will Graham.
Jesus Christ coming into this world to save us from our sins is the greatest gift we'll ever receive. And thinking about that gift at Christmas time can lead us to think about other blessings in our lives. Cliff, what are some of those for you?
Well, this year I have so much to be grateful for. My heart overflows with gratitude for a precious wife who loves me and cares for me at this age. I want to have joy, and I'm filled with joy at all of God's blessings and goodness, and for a family who loves me. So I'm grateful. My heart overflows with joy. Running over, running over. My cup is full and running over. Since the Lord saved me, I'm as happy as can be. My cup is full and running over. And this Christmas, especially so.
Amen. Thank you, Cliff. Before you know it, New Year's will be here. Could we ask you to consider making an investment in the work of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association before we ring in 2017? Your prayers and your financial support help us to tell hurting people around the world about the hope that can be found in Jesus Christ alone. You can do your part by clicking on Give at the top of our page. I'm Bob Sauer, along with a host of our program, Cliff Barrows. Thank you for being with us for this edition of Hour of Decision Online. All of us here at Hour of Decision Online wish you a very Merry Christmas, and please let someone else know that they can listen to this special Christmas edition of the program by visiting us here at hourofdecisiononline.org.
Please do so. God bless you, and have a very wonderful and Merry Christmas. This program came to you through the auspices of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Always good news.